This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Twin boulder with a nice tower.
I can just pull stuff out of my ass. Just keep on going. A flag.
On that note.
Kia ora from Cookie.
I am Jack.
And I am Ryan.
And this is the Cubby House episode 3.
We're so sorry that it's taken so long to get to you. We're dusting off the microphones because we haven't really been here in the dungeon for a while now.
That's got a lot to do with me, because the dungeon hasn't been open for the past 2 weeks. Because after I had my birthday party, which was just before I went over to New Zealand, I had to pack everything up for starters, including the dungeon itself. So it's not quite a dungeon studio today. Then I went and flew over to Auckland for 2 weeks almost for a gay marriage.
Oh, how lovely. And how did that go?
It went without a hitch. It went really well, actually. I went over to be their photographer, so they got a free photographer who all they had to do was put him up for 2 weeks, and they loved it. Took over 1,000 photos just on the event day, so big day, and they're now getting ready to move to Sydney as well. So,
wow.
They're all up and go-go.
Congratulations, guys.
Yes, that's to Paul and George.
The Cubby House wish you all the best for the future.
So what have you been up to, Ryan, in this time?
Just work. I'm terribly boring, unfortunately. Just work.
How could someone so sexy be so boring?
Well, I don't think I'm boring. Just my social life has been boring. But thank you so much for putting it in that context. Ha ha ha. I can use that word. You can't. You're banned.
Grr.
And what about yourself, Jack? What have you been up to? Or who have you been up to?
Last Wednesday, I dressed up as a dog and burst into a lecture theatre just to make everybody's day a little bit more bizarre.
Was this a day that I was not aware of? Was it a calendar day? Burst into lecturer's hall dressed as a dog day or something?
No.
Comes right before Melbourne Cup day sort of thing? Not a bank holiday?
No, I just thought it was about time that the good old university prank came back to the universities.
So we're seeing all these news broadcasts about schools being shut down and everything. Is that because of you?
No. No? No, not at all. I do not condone going into schools and trashing the places, no matter how anti-establishment you are. Because it's you're in year 12, you've only got a couple of days to go. I mean, what's the use of messing up the place when you've got so
exactly.
little to go?
Once you graduate, then do it.
For all those listening in offshore or anywhere else besides Australia, Cookie, would you like to explain the situation?
I don't think Cookie's actually been in the country for him to describe the situation. So.
Well, that's right. I can only say, well, apart from getting a can out of the chili bin and throwing off me jandals.
Jandals?
I've got no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes three of us. We have no idea what the hell you're talking about right now.
Okay.
We need like a glossary. What is a jandal?
A jandal is a Kiwi thong, which is an Australian flip-flop.
Right.
For those who are from North America, we call thongs, flip-flops, jandals, God knows how many other names, for the same type of footwear. And for those Australians who don't know what a chili bin is, go and open your esky and you've just done it.
That's it.
That's it.
It's an esky.
It's an esky. I've been trying to re-educate these two Kiwis that are coming over to Australia how to speak Australian.
And how is that going?
Duffed if I know. They're going to miss their fush and chips and Hell Pizza, which if you do go, or if you're in Brisbane, I've heard they're in Brisbane and in New Zealand, Hell Pizza. Give it a go. It's really nice. I love it.
And what is Hell Pizza? Is it just like La Porchetta or is it like Domino's or?
It's just another brand of pizza, but it's got a different attitude to it, I suppose you could say.
Pizza has a different attitude?
Yes.
How does an inanimate food object have?
It's like pizza to the extreme.
Exactly.
Solid or runny, how do you like a cheese?
Ew, All right, we're going to change the subject right now after that. I think we
went on like three simultaneous tangents. If we do another one, we can actually go in a full square.
Well, I'm definitely not going to go pull me Pookie out.
Yes, I'm glad you're not going to either. What the fuck is a Pookie?
Ah, nickname for a Pukeko.
Oh, totally. Why did I not put the two together? What the fuck is a Pukeko?
It's a bird.
Right, okay.
It's like a duck with a chicken beak.
Oh, okay.
Very short, stubby beak.
Well, hello to all those Pookies that are out there listening right now. So, Cookie, you went to a gay marriage, a civil union, while you were in New Zealand. Now, is gay marriage actually legal in New Zealand?
Without completely understanding it, there is a legislation for recognising civil partnerships.
Okay.
It doesn't cover marriage as such, so you don't have to change your name or anything like that, but it's just basically a legal recognition similar to a de facto couple, to my understanding, of rights and legalities of a couple rather than two single guys living together for the whole life.
Right.
Which in Australia is not currently recognised at all.
It's starting to, I think, because of the California legislation or recognition of gay marriage. There are several other places that around the world that are also recognizing of gay marriage. UK, probably most famously, I believe Spain is also another place.
Yes, I think they're getting there.
What other countries?
Canada?
Well, yeah, of course, Canada. I totally forgot.
Oh, tucked away down there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Canada. I think even Poland recognized gay marriage.
So I suppose it helps with our current state of government that it actually can become a bit more of a discussion point in getting some sort of legislation drawn up and approved.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, we are getting there, but it just hasn't been there yet.
Do you think we ever will be there?
I'd like to think, hopefully with this government, there'll be some legal standing of recognition. Because at the moment, all Australian couples can do is go and have the equivalent of a commitment ceremony, but it's all just smoke and mirrors legally.
Yeah.
It's not legally recognised as anything more than just you two guys living together.
Mm.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong and something already has been put in place, but without doing the research, that's my understanding. Where Australian couples, as far as gay marriage go from here, we can only hope it's going to be something in the next 12 months because it really is looking like it's being pushed heavily now and taken a lot more seriously than it has with the previous government.
Mm.
Now, among gay activist groups, there's a little bit of contention around whether the term marriage is actually the one that they want to use, because you've got people saying we're completely equal, we want everything equal, therefore we want the term marriage. And they've got others which are willing to be a bit more pragmatic and make a compromise, saying, well, a civil union would be better than nothing or better than what we have, so we'll take that. So what do you make of that?
I think that if you were at a party, for example, and somebody said, so what's going on in your life? And you said, I'm getting married. They would immediately assume that you were straight. If you said that you were having a civil union, probably about 50% of people would go, well, what's that? So maybe we just need to come up with our own terminology. We're quite good with, you know, inventing words. And
or reclaiming words that have been derogatorily used against us.
Mm.
What I find funny is now that I've actually been to one and I can start to draw some comparisons and differences, is the civil union I went to didn't have your traditional throwing of the rice or confetti, didn't have the whole bridesmaid and groom approach. The couple actually walked in together rather than one walked up to the other. If you're doing it in a church, which to my understanding most marriages are, some aren't necessarily, but most are, you can't just throw all the chairs back and have a big party at the church at the end of the day. This particular civil union had the same place for both the ceremony and the reception. And it was nice and easy to set up, but it was also a relaxed environment. The way it was set up, it was actually in a mini auditorium decking where everybody was above and looking down at the couple. And things like the signing of the registry, that'd be the same. Ring giving is the same.
I'm sure it is.
But yeah, just there are a lot of different things like the I do's. I'm sure with a lot of heterosexual marriages, you can kind of cut out what part you want said, what you don't. But in a gay context, a lot of the rights and responsibilities that are in marriage don't apply because it's two guys or two girls, not male and female. So there's no biological means for children necessarily to be involved unless there is been agreements elsewhere as they would be. But yeah, just differences because, I was actually the youngest there and I'm 25 now. So I was the youngest person there. There was no flower girl or page boy or anything like that. It just didn't apply. So yeah.
So we've taken the 730 report stance in this. We've been very factual about what's actually going on with civil unionship and what we've witnessed. Now let's go from a personal point of view. How do you feel about gay marriage, Jack?
I'm probably going to go back to that 730 reporty style. But I personally don't think that the state should be in charge of issuing marriages to anyone. Because if the religious institutions want marriage so much for themselves, then goddamn let them have it. Pretty much have all marriages in a church called marriages, and an equivalent in any state system would be a civil union. It's not about gender, so everybody is treated equally in that not equal way.
So
the churches can decide who they want to marry and who they don't want to marry.
I think they already do now.
But the state, on the other hand, cannot make that distinction.
So do you, having said that, if the state says, yeah, sure, if you want to get married, that's fine, would that mean that you would agree with polyamorous relationships or bigamists, people that are, men that have three wives, for example? Would you agree with that?
In theory, yes, I would. But then again, it's a simple... I'm rambling. It's not a simple thing because I'm just going to leave it at you got to have the groundwork built first before you can start building up upon it. And I think that distinction between state marriage and religious marriage is the step to go.
And what about yourself, Cookie?
Just from a social point of view, if you, like you said, if you were to say to get married, a lot of people would recognize what you're doing, and civil union, you'd have to stop and explain. Marriage rolls off the tongue very easily because we all know what it is and what it means. In some ways, I'd still like to use that word because you don't have to sit there and go for another analogy of what this means and what that means, as some people do with a bear. Like when I have to explain what a bear is all the time. I would like to see another word come into the English language that would, again, mean the same thing, but distinct from what we know as marriage. Because marriage is a set situation where you, traditionally, you go to a church, you have rice thrown on you, you do your I do's, you swap rings, you kiss, and you're happily ever after. Whereas with marriage in the past, there has always been the point of, with religion, you can't have sex until you're married. With the gay and lesbian culture, I find a lot of those things don't apply. You still want to be committed to each other. You still want to be legally recognized with each other. But marriage traditionally doesn't apply for gay and lesbian relationships to be committed. So I think with the introduction of a lot of the legislation over the past decade across the world, I think that there should be a word that kind of does apply. And whether it's just we still use civil union as and just promote what it means and get it more into mainstream media to kind of explain it, or whether we actually come up with a whole new word again.
But just because you have a civil union on paper doesn't necessarily mean that that's the term that you necessarily have to use in common conversation.
Yes, and I think that is also a good point. If you want people to believe you're straight, if you're still closeted at work, marriage works well. It's just when it comes to meeting the wife or the husband, as the case may be, I think that's when you need to stop and say, well, that's where your problem is, as far as then explaining what type of marriage.
So what about you, Ryan?
We'll start off with a factual point of view. I honestly don't know why we're not recognised. I cannot get it. I mean, if... I'd love to sit down with a politician and say, okay, without mentioning the Bible or without mentioning what people want, like the general public think that we shouldn't get married, you tell me why we aren't recognized as just as like anybody else, or heterosexuals mainly, I should say. So that's my thing. I just don't understand it. My personal point of view with marriage is that I want to get married to a guy. And I'm not waiting around for politicians to say, well, okay, yeah, all right, we'll let you do it now. When I find the guy that I want to settle down with and spend the rest of my life with, I'm sending out wedding invitations, not civil unions. And when I snog my husband up on the altar, the person who's up there, whatever, they're going to say, you know, you may now kiss your husband. It's not going to be you may now kiss your life partner, because it's not the same as far as I'm concerned. And I'd have it actually written in the contract that if they say life partner at that bit, I get to punch them out and they don't get paid.
Well, with the first one, I suppose you could say that with the asking the politician the question, it just seems to be just an element of democracy, how those people that are so strongly objected to it possibly could make the difference between winning an election or losing a seat. So does that make it right? Well, no. Not at all. But I suppose that as change occurs in the wider society, that the democratic process will catch up. In regard to that, when civil unions were introduced in Canada, it was actually not so popular. But once it actually was introduced, approval ratings were to go from, I don't know, 60% up to 87% high. Don't believe those figures. Look them up for yourself. Marriage itself actually takes a lot of forms throughout the world. That's one of those little things with my anthropology hat on. So you study different cultures and kinship systems and that kind of thing. And sometimes it's quite conflicting because there is no necessarily right or wrong form of marriage as far as that is concerned. I've also have issues with exploitation when it comes to at least what you were saying about polygynous, polyamorous, polygamous relationships. I have concerns that degree of exploitation could be for the people involved, but that is more for the people involved to decide rather than any particular institution.
So it seems like we're all kind of pro-gay marriage, I would say.
It would be hard to say not against gay marriage, because it all affects us directly. And well, I think that's one of the biggest things for those who it doesn't affect seem to have a bigger say than those that it does affect.
Well, one of my, probably the only concern that I have about gay marriage is I would be worried about people just getting married at the drop of the hat. They've been dating for 3 weeks. They're going, yeah, I really like this guy. And then 6 weeks later, yeah, we're getting married. And then 8 months later, they're getting a divorce because one, you know, watches Doctor Who all the time, or they don't unload the dishwasher, or just stupid little things like that. But then I think, you know what? Straight people do the same thing. They marry people purely to get them overseas, for example, to give them a legal green card. If they can abuse the system, why can't we?
Overall, I'm not particularly for gay marriage personally, but in theory, I am all for it. Just because I wouldn't want chocolate ice cream for myself doesn't mean that I would disallow it for everyone else. So
you don't want to get married, but you're still like, yeah, totally, they should be gay marriage kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. And Cookie, do you want to get married when you grow up?
When do I get on my hands and knees and say, Ryan, will you marry me?
Well, you usually do get on your hands and knees and ask me questions, but it's nothing to do with marriage. How is that? Oh, whatever. That's not a flag. It's banter, not flag.
Yeah.
It was crude, it was vulgar.
Oh, that's us. God, get with the program. Where have you been? 2 weeks and you're like brainwashed. Oh my God, they swore.
Ryan.
Cookie.
Can you remember way back when you were a young innocent cub?
I still am. But anyway, more young than innocent now.
What movies would you have considered help you understand what it means to be not only gay, but to be a cub as well as?
Interesting question. There were movies that helped me with my homosexuality. There were movies that sort of turned me on as a child, or as a teenager, I should say. There are even movies that I identified with characters. I think that probably goes with everybody.
Draw example out of.
Well, for example, movies that turned me on as a child. Street Fighter was probably one because Zangief was in it. Big, tall Russian bear, wore only short shorts, great big hairy chest. If Zangief, if you're out there listening, yeah, my email address is ryan@thecubbyhouse.net.au. Get in touch. I'll be waiting.
Yeah, that goes for two of us.
No, you can have Chun-Li or whatever.
Chun-Li. At least handball me E-Honda.
Well, E-Honda, you can have whomever you want.
Fine, I'll have Ken and Ryu at the same time.
You can do whatever your little heart desires.
You can have them.
Yeah. Nobody's touching Zangief. So yeah, gay marriage, I'll marry him. I do Zangief.
You're marrying a computer game. Or just the actor.
Just the actor.
Okay.
As Andrew Bryan asked.
As part of the wedding vows, have him play Zangief all the time. Do you solemnly swear?
You must only walk around in short shorts.
That aside, what are...
Well, what movies did influence you, Cookie? Or...
Well, it would be hard not to say the most common ones of Priscilla and Star Wars and Rocky Horror.
Priscilla, yes. Rocky Horror, you're a freak. But hell yeah. Yeah. Star Wars, WTF.
Explain yourself, mate.
Okie dokie. Geek factor.
Mm.
Robot sex. What two characters out of Star Wars do you think would be involved in that one?
Well, even though I have not seen any Star Wars film, there are two robots, R2-D2 and C-3PO. I'm imagining those are the two robots you're referring to.
Yeah, it's the
two. Unless it's not like this huge twist where Princess Leia is actually a cyborg or something like that.
No, but what about the other quote?
Look, I am your father.
So you want to change that to
Luke, who is your daddy?
Sort of thing.
Doesn't it mean the same thing, just said differently?
Does that mean that you identify with Luke because you perhaps have abandonment issues?
No, I don't, and I don't have a cyborg arm as well, which I used to wank every day. No, no, it's just the whole fact of there is a lot of...
You used to get hard when James Earl Jones spoke, was it that, or the whole...
I think it was, voice I think well, it was Chewbacca.
Oh, the bear factor. Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
And who's Chewbacca's best mate?
Han Solo.
And they flew around together in a spaceship. Ooh. How many other gay contexts would you like me to pull out? And you haven't even watched any the movies yet.
I've seen one, and I nearly got bashed because I thought it was the most pathetic film I've ever seen. P.S. I can't stand science fiction, listeners. And all I did was take the piss out of the film the entire time. And this is when I was in LA and there was geeks sitting behind us, pocket protectors and everything. And I think they were ready to lynch mob me. This is the episode 2. Is that Revenge of the Sith, is it? Or
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones, is it? Yeah, I saw that one and it was just this whole fighting scene with, what's his name? That green Kermit the Frog character guy.
Yoda.
Yoda, that's the one. Yeah, he came out and he fought with Christopher Lee, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think anybody can take this scene seriously right now.
No, but there's also the whole quote of...
Come to the dark side, it's your destiny.
Maybe that's more fitting for you, since we are in the dungeon.
Well, yes. No, but there's a lot of quotes and there's a lot of innuendos that can be put into that, I suppose, once you go, you kind of go, oh, duh. But... It's those sorts of things that you can relate to without being gay, and I suppose being gay kind of puts a whole new spin on it, but those sorts of things kind of help you understand how to relate to people in another way.
Well, I suppose that's probably why science fiction is so popular amongst the bear community, for example, because, I mean, Star Trek, on, you know, going on to another science fiction tangent, has severe gay undertones as well.
Spock and Kirk, for instance.
The Doctor from Voyager.
I'll have to take your word for this.
Yes.
But wasn't like one of the captains a lesbian or something?
Well, no.
Considering there was only one female captain.
And she was not a lesbian?
No.
Okay.
She just had that kind of voice, if we want to stray into that kind of
territory. She acted like a bull dyke, but she actually wasn't.
She knew how to take command when it was necessary.
Yes.
Because that's her job. She's a captain.
She was a power top kind of thing.
I never thought about it that way. But she would occasionally have flings with characters from the holodeck. That's like one of the things that happens at least once a season is that one of the lead characters has to fall in love with someone from the holodeck, or the holodeck malfunctions, or there's something wrong with the holodeck, and it's an excuse for period piece episodes.
For those who don't know what the holodeck is, it's basically walking into a computer-generated reality.
Ah, good. I'm glad you clarified me that, because yes. I was like, holodeck, is that like... Like the box,
well,
of cards come in. Once you've removed the cards, you've got a hollow box.
No, well, it's like opening up a book and jumping into the book, and you're in the storyline of the book.
Oh, okay.
Sort of thing.
I don't get why people just don't bang into walls. It must be a really big deck.
No, I worked that one out. Here we're going to quick tangent. The holodeck actually is like a moving storyline. If you move into a different space, you're still within the same space in the actual deck itself, but the world moves around you, sort of thing.
The floor shifts around?
Yes. That's my theory.
Well, Star Trek has been one of the premier television shows brought to you by Gene Roddenberry, which has actually been one of the forerunners for when it comes to difference. For example, in the original Star Trek, you've got all these people from all these different countries, of all these different ethnicities and races coming together for the glorious pursuit of beating the shit out of their enemies.
No, more for the endeavouring development of mankind or womankind. The other big one was also Star Trek The Next Generation had an android as part of their crew, like the main cast crew, which went beyond the human aspect and saying, well, how do we relate to artificial intelligence and how can we adapt that into our culture? Star Trek Deep Space Nine
had...
No, but here's the thing. All right, yes, it didn't fly around going to other planets or not, but it did have a situation where they had a dark-skinned captain controlling the whole situation. Look at the current US presidency. We've got Barack Obama going for presidency.
I was wondering how long we could do this podcast without mentioning US politics.
Well, okay. Anyway, and then we go to Voyager. Star Trek Voyager has a female captain. So in all the different Star Treks, they're also trying to bridge some of the boundaries between cultures, races, and sexes.
One of the most famous episodes when it comes to its gay undertones is a Star Trek The Next Generation episode where the second in command...
Commander Will Riker.
Commander Riker, that's the one. How he had a fling with a being of an androgynous race and how all that thing about gender and sexuality kind of came up.
But for those who do know the Star Trek cast list, Riker with Worf. Wouldn't that be a nice couple?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, I feel like this is World of Warcraft discussion. I don't know anything about what you're saying.
That's fine.
All I hear is blah, blah, blah. I'm a giant geek. So.
That's why I kind of tried to throw it into that ill kind of space.
Gee, thanks.
You're not picking up what we're putting down.
No, totally not.
So, okay, what are the... Well, okay, we'll go further, seeing we've been talking about both movies and TV shows. To be of gay nature, what shows do we think we should be watching?
I think probably the most obvious, as far as TV shows go, Will and Grace.
Definitely.
Absolutely Fabulous.
Done.
And then I think you sort of weave into other shows, like, for example, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Not a popular show, but it is, you know, one of the main characters is gay. Are You Being Served? Another gay character. Probably not as popular it is now than it was back in the 70s and 80s.
No, but I think that is actually one of the forefronts in actually bringing out a very camp character.
Mm.
Mr. Humphreys, I believe it was.
Correct.
And I think that was a good way in kind of how to relate people in a social situation to a camp character. Because you had your girls, both young and old. You had your very straight business suited guy. Can't remember his name. But it was all in a retail store, which we all walk into and we're all dealing with most on weekly to monthly basis, and how people relate to those characters in the store and those that do get on, those that don't get on. Very good example of bringing gay culture into the forefront of its time.
But that kind, from what you've listed, pretty much represents only one particular type of gay person, only one. I suppose you could say that it supports a particular stereotype. So what on that magnificent list of yours offers an alternative vision of what gay men can be?
Probably to go severely, severely left field, like way past, like, oh my God, how the fuck did you come to that conclusion, left field? My theory is that Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies is gay. Now, before you flag me and say get out, when, you know, looking for a third person to join the cubby house, Ryan's been kicked out. It wasn't until I sort of watched them one night and I was like, wow, this is actually kind of weird. Jason has an odd relationship with his mother, which is most gay men do. He has a very estranged relationship with his father. He knows how to accessorize. I mean, come on, you know, hockey mask, machete, chainsaw. He hides behind a mask, which I think a lot of people tend to do on the internet nowadays. You have your cyber character and you have who you are as a person. Someone that, you know, can be very forward online, but then when you're actually meeting with people, it's not so much so. And also, I've never seen him kill a gay person. All I've seen him is kill were breeders.
Now, okay, how does he go about killing them in that respect? How do you know they're straight?
They're shagging.
Righty, so he's doing it while they're shagging.
What does shagging mean?
For those that haven't watched the movies like me, how does he do it? Or what's his style of doing it?
A lot of the time, I mean, you will know that all the people are straight because they seem to pair off in male-female couples. There's a lot of talk about, oh, I think this one's hot, or you will see them in bed together, or, you know, oh, I really fancy that person. I wonder if they fancy me. It's never been anything about, you know, away from that. It's always been extremely heterosexual dominated, never been any mention of homosexuality whatsoever, as far as the victims go.
Right.
How does he go about killing them, did you say?
Yes.
Well, I could delve into this really badly because there's actually been, including Freddy vs. Jason, there's been 11 Jason films.
Right.
So
he's even gone into space, I think.
Yes, Jason X. He went into space. So
where do you go from being in space?
How did he get into space?
Where does the franchise go? I mean, after you've gone to space, where else is there? That's not the question. The question is...
That's right. How do they go about... killing the victims? Is there a method to it? Is there a style?
It's mainly just impaling on different sorts of weapons.
That's a start for being gay.
I never even thought of it that way, but yeah, I guess so. A lot of knives, a lot of machetes, chainsaws, things like that.
Right.
But I suppose, I mean, if you want to go like that, you could probably go as far as... you know, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I suppose, because it's pretty much the same connotation, weird relationship with parents, accessorizing, hiding behind a mask, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my theory.
Well, if you want to go on that horror movie theme with gay overtones or undertones, two words, Vincent Price.
Meh.
Meh?
Is that meh as in, like, I disagree, or meh as in, who the hell is that, or what are you talking about?
You're talking about a horror virgin film watcher here.
Oh my God.
We need to strap you down and make you watch films Clockwork Orange style.
I eat, sleep and breathe horror. Okay, Vincent Price did a number of films. Mainly, he did a lot of Edgar Allan Poe sort of movies, like, you know, The Pit and the Pendulum, Mask of... Red Death or whatever it is.
The Fall of the House of Usher.
Mm. House on Haunted Hill, all this sort of stuff. He's kind of like John Waters very much like him, very much his demeanor. I don't think he means to be camp. He just was.
He mostly plays characters in horror films, but it wasn't exactly one of those slash stab horror films like Jason. He was more the suave, sophisticated, worldly kind of villain, which
Cary Grant it's of killing.
You can kind of get with, which I'm not quite too sure about how many people can identify with the Jason character.
I think that...
Or at least all bottoms can identify with impaling on something.
Yes, Cookie. Thank you for that.
Beyond that, I don't know about the psychosis of it.
Well, the whole situation of how Jason came about killing people was that his mother was a camp counselor and was a cook at this children's camp. And he was off swimming and a young straight couple camp counselors were watching him swim and he drowned because they decided to shag instead of watch him. His mother went crazy and started killing all these people and then eventually one of them turned around and killed her. But I suppose you could look at, if you look at the most recent one, Freddy vs. Jason, where people were teasing him because he was a mongoloid, you've got the whole bullying thing going on. You've got, because I'm gay, I'm different than other people. People don't understand what it's like, all that sort of thing. I don't know. Could probably go into this further, but...
What else do you have on your list?
What else have we got here? The Sum of Us.
Yes.
Mm.
Australian film with...
Russell Crowe.
Before he became Superstar Gladiator. And...
Jack Thompson.
Thank you. Story of gay guy living out in Sydney with his old man. Very open about him being gay, to the point it's somewhat scary. But I'd love to have it's scary, but it's good to have a father like that, I suppose you could say, a father figure who's just so open and happy to help you in any way possible get your rocks off, including leaving porn out for you and happily telling you it's there. Then the story takes a twist and the old man has a stroke and is near comatose for the rest of his life. But it's also a good movie in family life and dealing with life beyond, you know, love and relationships and shagging.
Well, because they do delve into Jack Thompson's character. His mother turned to or became a lesbian.
Yes.
She probably already was, but she just, you know, that day and age, you're supposed to grow up and get married and spit out five children and not say anything. And then as she got older, husband probably passed away and then became a dyke.
We're a bear-themed podcast. We do have a one film that caters for that particular subculture. It is called Bear Cub, which is from Spain, is it?
Yes.
And is in Spanish.
Well, most Spain films from Spain usually are in Spanish.
And word of warning for those who haven't watched it yet, do not watch the first 5 minutes with your parents on the big screen.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch the movie with my parents, but I was sharing a house with two girls and, you know, big widescreen television, surround sound, and the first 5 minutes is a sex scene where you pretty much nearly see everything, and I mean you nearly see everything. And yeah, I had to sort of, after those 5 minutes, I had to take the movie to my room.
You can't get away with this.
Well, for fear of making a mess in the lounge room, no doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was sitting on my expensive couches. I didn't want to get them all messy, so moved on where? Into the kitchen, of course. You can wipe it up.
All right, without having seen Bear Cub, roughly what's the storyline?
The storyline is almost identical to that of Priscilla. You have a guy who's dealing with his homosexuality, and all of a sudden a child is almost thrust upon him. He's obviously a bear. His sister and her boyfriend at the time are going to India. Is that correct, Jack?
That is correct.
And so they decide to leave her son with his brother. Her brother, sorry.
The bear brother.
Mm-hmm. And which she promptly gets arrested for possessing drugs or narcotics of some sort, some type of description. And then he has to become a father figure. He has to stop worrying about, you know, going to saunas and picking up because he's got he has this other person to worry about.
It's a film with a lot of heart.
I think that's a good movie, I suppose, for those who are like, have come out of high school and are kind of starting to move on with life, you get a job, establish yourself and all that sort of stuff. That's a really good movie to kind of relate to, I suppose you could say.
Puts things into perspective.
Yeah, it does. You know, it really kind of makes you look at what's really important in somebody's life.
Grampians!
Woohoo!
I know that I am going, Ryan is going, but Cookie...
Maybe.
Aww.
Well, after being back from New Zealand, I'm just a bit unsure as to how work's going to go, whether at the end of this week, after recording, obviously, whether I'll be even able to drive my car out of my driveway, let alone up to the Grampians. So I'll know by Tuesday, I reckon, if I'm going or not.
We can give you a carpool, if that's an issue.
You've never had trouble finding someone to ride before, Cookie, so I'm sure getting a lift up there would be no problem.
Yeah, but... Getting a lift back is my...
Oh, right.
Yes, because you guys are staying until Monday, aren't you?
No, yes. I don't think so. I'm leaving Sunday.
Well, I'm leaving Monday.
Well, I have to leave Sunday as well, so... I can get up with you.
And it can come back with me.
Maybe.
An entire weekend full of bears and the rough and the hedonism. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just looking forward to chillaxing.
Chillaxing.
They've got a pool now, there.
I've heard rumours that there's a particular spot, like almost a beat there. Am I right?
I think that it's just drawn out so much. I think that it's gotten to a point where the sex side of things is terribly... It's just so glorified. But the events and the food and... the sleeping quarters, it's being shadowed. I think it's like just an ordinary bear event. You're going to have people there, like eating, drinking, sleeping, swimming, bushwalking, shopping, wine tasting, blah, blah, blah. But of course, you get a bunch of guys that are all gay, that are all attracted to each other, solitary. Stuff's gonna happen. So I mean, of course there are gonna be times when, you know, if the cabin's rocking, don't come a knocking. But I warn you people that if the cabin is rocking, I will be knocking, because I want to relax, and if you annoy me, ha ha ha, suffer the consequences.
Now in the Geelong area, which is about 100 clicks south of Melbourne, there's recently been an inter-gang war when it comes to motorcycle gangs. So it kind of makes me a tad concerned if you've got like 30 bears walking down the streets of where it is, and suddenly, oh my goodness, who are these people? They're big and they've got beards and they all must be of the one group. Oh, I'm scared.
And that's until they talk and they're like, hello darling.
Until we talk and hug each other
and kiss each other.
Walk down the street half naked.
You're probably more scared, but still.
However, that is coming up this weekend out in Melbourne. And Northern Exposure, I'd like to hear from some guys that were up there who could relate some of the stories that happened. You can get hold of us on Facebook as The Cubby House. Our website directly is thecubbyhouse.net.au.
It's a sexy website.
Skype line is 9005PLAY, or you can add us on Skype as The Cubby House.
That's right. And it'll cost you as much as it does to pretty much send the data back and forth, which is not all that much.
No. So, and if you'd just like to email us,
podcast at thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Thank you.
All this is up on the website.
That's it. Next fortnight show, we're going to be talking about depression, and you're going to introduce a new topic for people to get hold of us on. It's called...
It's going to be like an agony aunt section. If anybody remembers the old show Beauty and the Beast, where people used to write in letters and then, you know, they'd just sit around and banter about, you know, problems or, you know, how you can resolve your conflicts or whatnot. That's what we want to do. We're all about support and love here at the Cubby House. So if, you know, you're our brethren, we want to help you out. So to start off with, if you want to send in your problems, your issues, we're happy to discuss them, but... To start off with, we're going to be discussing depression.
From our own experiences.
Well, that's it. Ways to combat it, and we'll take it from there.
It's like Dolly Doctor, only for bears.
Cubby.
We'll come up with a clever conundrum. We'll come up with a clever name for this particular segment in the next fortnight. In the meantime, we want your concerns, your complaints, because we feed on that kind of thing.
So send us a message at Skype on 9005PLAY. Email us at... podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
So from this week, this is Cookie.
This is Ryan.
And this is Jack.
Just Jack. Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.